Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning in the house of the Lord again. The goodness and the mercy of God with us. Every day, and today is a new day. A new day of victory. Even as thy word has said, thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph. We thank you for the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here today. We thank you for the word of God. And as always, Lord, we know that word, when it comes, the entrance of it thereof, the Bible says, brings light. So let it be this morning, and glorify yourself, Lord. In the message of the Lord, we give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I like an excitable service. Amen. I like it when people are excited. I like it when people shout the victory. Because the Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, heaven is not a quiet place, because they are always singing the praise of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So you better get some good practice if you want to be up there. Well, like I said, or ask, do I have some winners in the house? Well, I'm going to preach a message today. I'm going to share something with you that's going to make you a winner. Amen. And the message this morning is a winning attitude. Amen. A winning attitude this morning. So the Lord, he said, there's got to be an attitude adjustment. You know, so there's going to be an attitude adjustment this morning. Now, we've been preaching messages on faith, and this is also on faith. You know, and we want, you know, I want everybody in this church to be getting, you know, victory after victory after victory after victory all of the time. Not just sometimes. You know, that's why we teach these things, to help you to get the victory. Now, a winning attitude. Now, God wants us to have a positive winning attitude all the time. In fact, the very first thing out of his mouth, when he created man in Genesis 1 and 28, the very first thing out of his mouth, the Bible says, and God blessed them. And he said unto them, be fruitful. Hallelujah. And multiply. That means increase. You know. So, he wants you to increase. And he said, subdue the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, if God will teach you something today, you know, Jesus, he said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He said, no man takes it from me. You know, I lay it down, and I have, you know, take it up again, he said. Praise God. This is in John chapter 10 and verse 18. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. And he said, I have that power to take it up. He said, this commandment I have received of my Father. Now, that's what Jesus said. You know, so everything he did, he attributed it to the commandment that he received of the Father. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning. The first commandment, which came in form of a blessing, but it was also a commandment from the Lord, was for you to be fruitful and for you to increase and for you to subdue the earth. That's the first thing he said. You know, so you can say, like Jesus said, you know, and I say this sometimes, and I can say, look, I have the power to subdue the earth because this commandment I received from the Lord. And I have the power to be fruitful. I have the power to increase. Hallelujah, somebody. Because this commandment I have received of the Father. You can read that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, when he created man, and then he gave them that commandment. Now, you know, God doesn't appreciate a losing, you know, defeatist attitude. But God wants a positive winning attitude. Amen? You know, you say winning attitude? Absolutely. Now, I'm going to read some examples in the Bible of this positive winning attitude. You know, and I want to tell you something before I even get started. That the negative, the losing, the defeatist attitude, you know, all it will give you is losing all the time. You're not going to get any victory, you know, that way. I tell you something else. That's something I'm going to share with you in this message today. You know, so I want you to listen very carefully. Because God not only wants you to be joyful, He wants you to be successful. You know, and God has already given you the power and the ability to be the head and not the tail. He already said that. You know, so this is the blessing wherewith the Lord blessed man when He put him upon the face of the earth. He said, be fruitful. That means everything you do should prosper. That's what fruitful means. You bring forth fruit. In fact, Jesus said in John 15, every branch in me that does not bring forth fruit, my Father cuts it off. Because that was the first commandment that He gave. Is be fruitful and multiply. So you must be fruitful. And He said, look, you cannot be fruitful. You can't do any of these things except you abide in me. He said that in John 15. He said, but, you know, the branches in me that are bringing forth fruit, my Father who is the gardener or the husbandman, He's going to purge that tree or that branch that's bringing forth fruit so that it may bring forth even more fruit, so that it might increase. Hallelujah. That's right. He said, thus is my Father glorified in that you bring forth much fruit. Praise God. I want to read it to you in John chapter 15. And I'm going to just read a couple of verses. It's what He said. I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh it away, because He gave commandment at the beginning to bear fruit. You know, but every branch in me that beareth fruit, He purges it so that it may bring forth even more fruit. He wants you to increase. Hallelujah. And He says in verse 5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That means you increase. Now, fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, and fruit of winning souls. Amen, somebody? That's right. All of these things. You know, for without me, He said, ye can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and they put them in the fire and they are burned. My goodness. You know, you don't want to be like that branch that is withered and gathered and put in the fire, do you? No. You know, but we want to be like the branch that is bringing forth fruit so that the Father can purge it so that it may bring forth even more fruit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, when God gives, remember, we gave a few weeks ago, there's something that will help you all the time. And I call this spec, you know. And I said, you know, I'm going to say to you this morning, you know, when you are faced with any challenges, you need to put on your specs and see through the specs, which is the promise of God. You've got to see the promise of God. And then you've got to be persuaded that God is able to keep His promise. Then you have to embrace it for yourself. You can't say, well, I know God can do that, but that's for somebody else. No, you got to embrace it for yourself. And then you have to do what? You got to confess it. That's how you get things done. Well, let's see how this message will fit right into that this morning. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I will paraphrase this story for you. Now, God, of course, He gave commandment. I mean, of course, before that, He gave a promise to Abraham that He was going to give him, you know, the land beyond Jordan and all these places. And so finally, after, you know, after God, by the hand of Moses, signs and wonders brought them out of Egypt, you know, the Lord said to Moses in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I have given to the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, send ye a man, every one a ruler among them. So God told him, you know, search out 12 men, one from each tribe, send them out over these, you know, to the land of Canaan, and to look, you know, to look out, to search out the land and so forth, you know. Verse 21. So they went out and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, and then they come unto Hamath. So, and they did all of those things. And verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And then they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, you know, to bring them the fruit of the land, you know, which Moses said, you know, bring the fruit of the land, give us a report and so forth. So they brought a report and they brought the fruit of the land, you know. And here's what they said in verse 27. And they told him, and they said, look, we came into the land whither you sent us. And surely it flowed with milk and honey, you know, and we brought the fruit to prove it. So they brought some fruit and so forth. He said, but nevertheless, the people that are in the land, you know, they are strong. So you see, now all of a sudden, the negative, the defeatist attitude begins to set in. He said, the people are strong and the cities are walled and they are great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there and the Amalekites and so forth and all of these things. You know, say, we can't go up against those people. They're too strong for us. They're living in walled cities. We can't do it. Even though the land is fruitful and so forth like that, we cannot go up against those people. The negative, the unbelief, the losing and defeatist attitude setting, you know. And then they begin to tell the people all of the things. He said, look, we are like grasshoppers before the people. The inhabitants of the people are like giants. The land swallows up the people and so forth. We can't do any of these things. We can't go up against these people. But Caleb, verse 30, steal the people before Moses and say, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. Hallelujah, somebody. Now that's some winning attitude. We are well able to overcome the place. Now I don't care if the cities are walled. See, the negative, the losing, the defeatist attitude, they saw giants. They saw walls. They saw fortresses and so forth, you know, and all that. And they saw themselves, you know, they saw the problems magnified. And they saw themselves diminished. That's what unbelief, that's what the losing and defeatist attitude will do every time. But faith saw the promised land. Can I get an amen from somebody? Faith saw the promised land. Faith never bothered about the giants. He never bothered about the walled cities and so forth. Faith said, we are able to go up and overcome it. You know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, and then the people that brought the negative report, they continued in their negative report. They did all of that and so forth. And they made the heart of the people to melt. Because of course, you see, that's what that, you know, losing, defeatist attitude will do. You know, it has a way of creeping in. Jesus himself said, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a little leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. And before you know it, the whole thing is leavened. See, just a little unbelief, you know, in the people, just a little unbelief in the church. The next thing you know, unbelief is all over the place. You know, well, in the same way, faith. Hallelujah. When we begin to speak faith, faith begins to come into people. It also begins to spread. Amen? Amen? And we are spreading faith. We are building, by the grace of God, a people of faith that have the winning attitude all the time. Now listen to what Caleb Caleb and Joshua said unto them in chapter 14. Now Joshua, verse 6 of 14, Numbers. The son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which are of them that searched out the land, they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, look, this land which we went and searched through it is indeed an exceeding good land. You know? But if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. Because it's a land, you know, flowing with milk and honey. And if you should remember, the Lord already promised that he was going to bring them into the land. Hello, somebody. The Lord already promised that. See, that's the seed, the promise. If they would have seen the promise, and if they would have been persuaded that God is able to do what he said, and they would have embraced it for themselves and confessed it, you know, the negative people, you know, maybe they would have gotten some faith. You know, but Joshua and Nun, they did exactly that. They saw the promise. They saw the promised land. They were persuaded that God is able to take them in. They embraced it for themselves. They said, we are going in. And they began to confess it. And they said, if the Lord delights in us, God is going to bring us in. He said, now. And they warned the people. They said, only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Oh, I love that part. We're going to have them for lunch. Amen, somebody. That's right. We will have them for lunch. That's the winning attitude. Now, of course, these people were not, you know, they were not trained. You know, they've been in slavery most of their lives, you know, back in Egypt and so forth. They were not trained. They were not military. They didn't have a lot of military prowess like some of their enemies that they were going up against. But here is what faith will do. Faith will transcend the obstacles. Faith goes and sees the promised land. They says God is with us. Therefore, we are able to conquer the place. These people are going to be launched for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And of course, you know, they went in, you know, and so forth like that. The Lord, you know, all those unbelieving people, God made sure that they died in the wilderness. None of them went into the promised land because they did not believe, except for the children that didn't know any good or evil. And Joshua and Caleb, those were the ones that went in. So these people, they had a positive attitude, and they were able, through the winning attitude, to be able to go in and take the land. Praise God. Now let me say this right here. You know that, you know, the winning attitude keeps, now this is a revelation that I want you to catch. The winning attitude keeps the angels of God busy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, you know, that God sends forth his angels as ministering spirits to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. Now, you know, the Lord showed me this last few days, you know, I was praying and thinking about, you know, this message that I was preaching. And he showed me that some angels were bored. They were bored. And Lord showed me that some of you, your angels in this place, they are bored. I mean, they are just bored. They don't have anything to do. They're just bored. They're just standing around, you know. And I'm looking and say, well, why are they standing around and not doing anything? And Lord said, well, they are bored. They are bored. You know, why are they bored? He said, because the people are not giving them something to do. I said, well, you know. But then I saw some other people. Their angels were just active, getting things done. And everything that they were confessing, these things were working and it was happening. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Now, when you have that winning attitude, you know, the angels are excited. Yes. Amen. Praise God. How many of you know that is true?
Amen.
Sure. Read also Psalm 103, verse 20. You know, it'll tell you that he said, the powerful angels that excel in strength, they are waiting for the voice of his word. When that voice of his word comes out of your mouth, they go into action. Hallelujah. They go into action. You know, they just go into action. You know, but the other ones, you know, they're just bored. They're just kind of like, you know, the same attitude that is in your life is the attitude that is in your angels. That's right. You say, wow, that's deep. Well, that's what the Lord showed. You know, because if you are not commanding them, you know, by your faith, your faith is what is commanding. You know, you just be saying the words. You don't need to be worrying about the angels. The Bible says in Psalm 91, the Lord gives the angels charge over thee. He's already given the charge. He's already given the commandment. He said, look, I want you to go down there and make sure that every one of my children that are believing, and make sure they get whatever they are believing for and they are confessing. Amen?
Yes.
God's already said that. And your winning attitude will make it happen every single time.
Amen.
It will also give you, you know, a new lease of life. You know, if you have a winning attitude, you know, about life and so forth, it doesn't matter what you face. You know, you may be facing sickness, disease, whatever, you know, at different times, because the enemy can come in and chip shot you sometimes, you know. But the winning attitude will say, look, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that, you know, God has already given me the victory. You know, that's what the winning attitude will say. The winning attitude always has a positive outlook to life. You know, and they, that attitude gets things done. You know, but the here's the thing also with the winning attitude. Just like they saw some people saw the giants, and some people saw the promised land, you know, the losing, defeatist attitude, they see the problems. You know, the roses that you buy in the stores, those have already been trimmed and, you know, cut off and so forth, made to look nice. But generally, roses grow among thorns, you know, and, you know, the defeated attitude, the losing attitude, what they will see is the thorns. The winning attitude will see the roses. Amen? Praise God. He can look like a bunch of thorns right now, but the winning attitude already knows, you know, I can do this, and I can trim it up, and it can look beautiful. You know, because the winning attitude can see the promised land, can see beyond the giants, can see beyond the fenced walls, can see beyond all of these things, can see the promise of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You take a glass of water, that's halfway. The losing, defeatist attitude sees it as a half empty glass. The winning attitude sees it as a half full glass. Hello, somebody.
Amen.
That's right. Because he doesn't see, you know, the winner that has this attitude that's positive, he doesn't see that the glass is decreasing. He sees that it's increasing. So he says, well, it's half full because it's going up. Well, the other fellow says, well, it's half empty because it's going down. Which one are you going to be? Are you going to have the winning attitude? Are you going to keep the angels busy running to and fro? You know, they go to and fro. The Lord asks them, say, well, what have you been doing? He said, well, I've been going to and fro. You know, doing what? He said, well, I went down there and made sure that such and such a fellow, you know, they receive what they were believing God for. And God said, well done. Go about your business and so forth. And he asked the other one, you know, why are you standing over there? Well, I said, well, you don't give me anything to do. You know, amen? Amen, people? Now, these things are happening in the spirit world, whether you know it or not. But I'm telling you today, they are happening in the spirit world. Now, let me give you some other examples about people here that have the winning attitude and some people, you know, over against all the things they face in the Bible. Now, you know, some of you may know, and most of you, if you've been in this church or any time, you know that one of my favorite characters in that Bible is David. The man David. I love to preach about David. Now, David, he was somebody that had a winning attitude. Amen? Amen, somebody? David had that winning attitude. In fact, there is a story. I've told it many times in the church, but it goes right with this message. So I'm going to tell some of it again today. In 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, of course, the Philistines, they pitched a battle against Israel, and their captain, who was Goliath, came out every day and mocked Israel and so forth. So you may know the story. You know, and he said, look, we don't all need to fight. You just choose one person to fight against me, and whoever wins, their side wins. You know, so he tormented them and oppressed them with, you know, all this, you know, language against them every day and so forth. Until one day, you know, Jesse, the father of David, sends him to go and check out his brothers. And he goes out there, you know, and he sees, you know, that he says, hey, what's happening? You know. And they say, what do you mean, what's happening? He said, well, we are, you know, they said, you know, can't you see that we are at war here and so forth? David said, war? I don't see any war going on. All I see is a bunch of scissors. I don't see you guys doing here, somebody going up and down every day, making noise. And I don't see any war. Do you? They said, well, you know, one of his brothers said, I know your heart. You're always here to be arrogant and so forth. I said, look, isn't there a reason? Can't you see that this man here is just here blowing up smoke all the time? You guys can't do anything about it. Amen? David had the winning attitude. Now, listen to what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to read from verse 26. You know, here's I paraphrase the story and so forth. So David, of course, he said, he asked the people, he said, look, what's going to be done to the man that takes away the reproach from Israel today? See, David, you know, David is already saying, you know, look, what is going to be done to the man that can take care of this problem? I mean, this is a man, this David was just a teenager at this time. And this man, this Goliath, is 9 foot tall. He's skilled in all kinds of battles. You know, he's won so many battles. He's got armors and different things, you know, helmet and all these things over him and so forth, you know. And David is already telling people, he said, look, what's going to be done to the person that takes away this uncircumcised Philistine and brings, you know, brings back some decency in Israel today? And, you know, then they said this and that and so forth. Meanwhile, you know, somebody went and told the king, said there's a young lad here saying all kinds of things, you know. So, you know, Saul calls the guy, and then he said, look, you can't go up against Goliath. I mean, you don't even have any training. You know, I got all my men here and so forth, and, you know, we can't go up against him. Well, David said, well, speak for yourself. Amen? Amen, somebody? Speak for yourself. He said, because, look, I tell you what, you know, this man that is here, he is defying the armies of a living God. So David already, he's going to approach this thing in the spiritual. He said, this man is defying the armies of a living God, and I'm going to take care of him. He said, well, you know, you can't do that. He said, well, I'll tell you what. When I was in the field, one day, you know, the enemy came and took something that belonged to me. The lion came to the flock that I was keeping for my father, and he took a young lamb, and because, you know, he was on my watch, I said, not in my watch. And I went after that lion, I got a hold of his beard, and I smote him, and I brought back that which was mine. You know, another time, you know, a huge bear rose up against me and so forth like that. Took one of the lambs, and I did the same thing. And I took what was mine from him, and I slew him. And I said, look, in the same way, God who delivered the lion and the bear into my hand, he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand today. Hallelujah, somebody. Now that is a winning attitude. And he went out, and of course, he did exactly like he said. And when he went and faced Goliath, Goliath said, are you kidding me? You coming out to me with a sling? And am I a dog or what? He said, well, you said so. He said, but today, you may come out with spears and all this, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And I will cut off your head today. You know, David, he was just a little boy, you know, but he's got that winner attitude. You know, nothing bothered him at all. You know, and you know why? Because all the time that David, the little boy, shepherd boy, when he was in the field, you know, he knew some things about the Lord. Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall know. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He's my strong tower. He's my deliverer. He's my shield and my rock and my fortress. And he's become my salvation. He said, no, I even saw the Lord riding upon chariots. He's got 20,000 chariots. And when he began to get into the spirit of praise, the Holy Ghost began to reveal things about the Lord. And he knew so much about the Lord that none of these things bothered him at all. Hallelujah, somebody. In fact, he said in Psalm 27 and verses 1 to 3, he said, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? I will not be afraid of anything. Not none of these things is going to bother me at all, because I've got the winning attitude. Hallelujah. Listen to this in Psalm 118 and verses 10 to 12. He said, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Is that a winning attitude or what? They compass me about. Yeah, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. He says it again. And he said, look, they will be around me like bees and so forth. They swarm around me and so forth. He said, but I don't make any difference. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them all. And he said, look, back to Psalm 27. He said, look, though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Hallelujah, somebody. This is a winning attitude. He knew, you know, that he can do, you know, and get the victory. You know, and he said, blessed be the Lord my God. Hallelujah. Teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know, I say, God who makes me to run through troops and leap over walls. In other words, no obstacle bothered him at all. He's going to run through it or he's going to leap over it. One way or the other, he's going to get a victory. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, he had a big winning attitude. Nothing's going to bother him at all. You know, and all of this attitude, all of this training and so forth, you know, every stage in his life, the lion was training him for the bear. The bear was training him for Goliath and so forth like that. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The whole time that he went up against Goliath, all he saw was that 9-foot-tall bear that rose up against him. That's all he saw. You know, he didn't care about Goliath. So he said, look, I've already seen this before. You know, God took care of it one time, and God took care of it again. And so finally, in 1 Samuel, chapter 30. So he's going to have the test of his life now. Well, you say, yeah, because now he's not a young man anymore. He's not a teenager anymore. He's got family now. He's got, you know, all of these things, and the devil's going to steal everything that he has. But I tell you, the winning attitude will go after the enemy and get back what he has stolen from him. Amen, somebody. So the enemy came in and stole his wife, his children, and everything, the story of Gilgal. And I want to read 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know, so this story of Ziklag, I meant to say, you know, the story of Ziklag. So when they come back, it's a long story, but I want to cut it short. In any case, they come back from something they've been doing, and they found out that, you know, their wives, their children, everything's gone, and the enemy, you know, took it all. And everybody wants to stone David because, you know, he's the captain of the people. And they say, well, it's because of you. We followed you to war and all of these things. You know, we should have stayed. You know, we shouldn't have joined with these people over here. You know, and they began to blame him and so forth like that. And so David, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. Verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. And all of the people who were grieved because of all the things that happened to their wives, sons, daughters, and so forth. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. David got away from the people and said, Lord, he said, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? He said, I will yet praise him for the light of his countenance. For the Lord is my shield and my strength. Hallelujah. He encouraged himself. He bestirred himself. He bestirred himself. You know, the enemy beat him down and said, well, your wife are gone. Your children, everything is gone. He said, well, so he went and asked the Lord, he said, Lord, what shall I do? Shall I pursue? The Lord said, yeah. And he said, you will certainly recover all. Now, that winning attitude will help you every time to hear the voice of triumph from your commander-in-chief. But the losing attitude, if you have that losing attitude, you wouldn't hear anything. But because he had already had that winning attitude, he went before the Lord and he heard the voice of his commander-in-chief. The commander-in-chief said, go forward. Go after them. Pursue them. Because you will recover all. Now, I want to tell some people in here today that the devil has stolen some of your dreams. Hello? Is there anybody still in the house with me?
Yes.
The devil has stolen some things with you and you're sitting down instead of getting up and going forward and going after the devil and pursuing and recovering all in the name of the Lord. The lion couldn't steal what was his. The bear couldn't steal what was his. Even Goliath couldn't get a victory from him. And now they came and took his family. He said, no way. God did all of that and so forth. I will recover all. And as the story went, he went after them. And listen to this. Let me read the next few verses to you. Yeah, I'm going to actually skip some of the verses. And I'm going to read to you just so you know that he actually did recover all. You know, and David, from verse 17, smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man. So, and verse 18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his wives. Nothing was lacked. Neither was there in anything, neither great nor small, you know, sons, daughters spoil anything that was taken. David recovered all. And on top of that, David also recovered all the flocks and herds, you know, and so forth, and all of these things. Beyond the thing that was taken from him, he got some other stuff as well. Praise God. The winner and the winning attitude goes after, you know, that which was stolen and wins every single time. Praise the name of Jesus. And David, you know, he wouldn't be, you know, he would not settle for a no, you know, because he knew his God. Hallelujah. He knew his God. Praise God. Now there was a man also in the Bible, his name was Paul. You know, and Paul said, look, Paul had a winning attitude as well. Paul said, look, I know how to do everything. I know how to abound. I know how to be in want. You know, it doesn't matter to me. No matter the situation, I come out on top. Yeah. Paul said. He said in Philippians 4 and 13, he said, look, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Can I get an amen on that? Now that is a winning attitude if I ever saw one. Now notice, Paul didn't say that Christ can do all things through me. Amen? Hello? That's not what he said. You know? And he didn't say, you know, but he said, I can do all things. You know, Paul already knows that the Lord can do everything. You know, so there's no question about that. You know, that's not the issue. The issue now is, what about you? What can you do with the Lord that is in you? If the Lord be in you, who can be against us, sir? Hallelujah. Praise God. So Paul said, look, I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now listen, there's a story here in Acts chapter 27. And I want to read, paraphrase it real quick. So in Acts chapter 27, I don't have time to go into all of the background of the story, but Paul is about to be involved in a shipwreck and a tempest and all of these things. Verse 20 of Acts 27. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. See, when it looked as if they will not be saved, when it looks as if everything will be taken away from them and so forth. Well, after long abstinence, here's what Paul said. He said, look, sirs, you should have hearkened to me when I told you that we shouldn't take this tempest because I saw the storm coming. But he said, nevertheless, be that as it may, even now, I want you to be of good cheer, because there shall be nobody's life lost, even in this tempest. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Well, of course, you know, even the writer of this thing said that all hope was lost. But Paul said, there shall no man's life be lost, because he had that winning attitude. He said, look, as long as I'm in the ship, amen, somebody, because the Lord, he said, the angel of the Lord stood by me tonight, and he told me, no life will be lost, but you must stay in the ship. You can't jump ship. If you jump ship, you will be destroyed. Hello, somebody. You can't jump ship. You've got to stay in the ship. And the ship is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. And as long as you are in him, yeah, God will give you the victory. Now let's see how Paul rounds it up finally and puts it out. And I want you to see what Paul, by the Spirit of God, wrote here in Romans chapter 8. Let's see how he brings it out. In Romans chapter 8, we'll start at verse 31. And he says, look, what shall we say then to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now that's a winner's attitude. He said, look, as long as I got God on my side, I don't care what else is going on. I got a victory in Jesus' name. Now he said, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. He said, look, you can't condemn me. Christ is the one that died for me, and Christ is the one that rose again. You know, and so forth like that. Now, verse 35. Who or what, doesn't matter, shall separate us from the love of Christ. Hello? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? He said, look, you know, in all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors. Can you give the Lord a clap for that? Hallelujah. Go ahead, give the Lord a clap offering for that. We are more than conquerors. In all these things, you know, Paul had a winning attitude. He didn't care if he was famine. He didn't care if, you know, things were good or bad. It didn't make any difference. You know, he had a constant dial of faith. He didn't go up and down and so forth like that. You know, things around him went up and down, but he was constant. He knew with a winning attitude, and here's what he said. He said, for I am persuaded. Hallelujah, somebody. I am persuaded that neither death, not even death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, witchcraft or anything, sickness, disease, things present and even things to come. Any plans that the enemy has not even yet fashioned. What he is going to do tomorrow. I don't care. I am persuaded that none of these things shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Because I am anchored on his love. Thank you, Jesus. I am anchored on the love of Jesus. And I know that I am more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. And Jesus would say over and over and over again in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 to the seven churches, over and over and over again, he said it. He that overcometh. Amen? The promises were to those that overcome. And you cannot overcome unless you have the winning attitude. You cannot overcome if you have the defeated attitude. If you think, well, I can't do this, well, then you can't do it. But if you say, I know I can do it. Because with God, all things are possible. And not only with God are all things are possible, all things are also possible to him that believeth. Jesus said it himself. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Now, so if you are believing, if you have the winning attitude, you know, and you keep declaring the faith, and you keep declaring the word of God, the angels will be going into motion on your behalf. And you're going to have piles of testimonies every single day. Hallelujah. Things that people say cannot be done. Things that people say, look, this thing cannot be accomplished. Something that they say is going to take months. For you, it's going to take hours.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't need that.
Amen.
I can preach without a mic.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Everything that God has promised, he has in store for us, and he has put it within you, the ability for you to succeed.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Paul said in the book of Philemon, chapter 6. There's only one chapter in the book of Philemon, right before Hebrews. He said that the communication of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. God has already put these good things in you. That's how you communicate your faith to the angels. Hallelujah. That's how you get the angels to move on your behalf. You acknowledge the good thing that is already in you. You say, I am a winner. Jesus made me a winner. Hallelujah. I am a winner in every situation. If I'm a student, well, I'm a winner nonetheless. Amen? Instead of looking at the class and the program that you are in and say, well, this thing is too difficult, you know, you just say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Hallelujah. You know, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a winning attitude. In fact, Daniel, they said, look, You know, we're trying to select, you know, the finest of the finest, you know, and all of these things and so forth. They were going to have a competition, you know, and all of that. They're going to have, you know, some modeling and everything. They want to find the best ones. Then I said, well, I'm not worried about that. You know, you just give us some pause over here. We don't need all that, you know, meat and nonsense, you know, because we know that we will come forth at the end better than every one of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. See? And I know that at the last day, I will stand with him. I will see him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The winner's attitude, he made Daniel to have an excellent spirit. He made him to become the head of all of the governors and everybody that was there. God put what an excellent spirit upon him. In fact, David, the psalmist said, the Lord has made me wiser than my teachers.
Amen.
That's what an excellent spirit, that's what a winner's attitude will do for you. If you have a business, instead of looking at the economy and the woes that we see today, when I said, look, you know, this is that and so forth, or if you are looking for a job, you know, and then the devil tells you, well, you can't find a job because there is no work anywhere, all these, you know, things, you know, and so forth like that, you know, there, you know, economy is bad and so forth. You know, you say, well, it may be bad for them.
Amen.
But not for me. Look, I don't know how else I can say this. I want you to know that God will take the words of your mouth and do them just the same as you say it. And if you say, I cannot find a job, then you will not find a job. But if you say, I don't care, you know, whether there is famine in the land, because the Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Yes.
You say, I know, Lord, that I've been planted in your house. Then I must flourish in the courts of my God.
Yes.
Now, that means the whole world, because that's his courts.
Yes.
Everywhere I go, I must flourish. Hallelujah. This commandment I have received of my Father, that I should be fruitful and I should increase and I should subdue the earth.
Hallelujah.
I received this commandment from my Father. Thank you, Jesus. In the ministry also, we do the same thing. You know, when you go out to, you know, minister and to heal the sick and so forth, like we heard testimony from Pastor Francis, you know, it's the same thing. We can face the sick and say, this commandment I have received of my Father. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead even. Freely you have received. Freely give. Praise God. And I tell you what, if you can speak it and you can believe it, then you can have whatsoever.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you can say to this mountain, he didn't say pray to the mountain. If you can say to this mountain, you are in my way. I need to get some things done. Right. Be thou removed.
Amen.
It's a winning attitude.
Amen.
It'll move out of the way for you. Praise God. Joshua one time, he said, look, I got some unfinished business. And it's getting dark. I need some more daylight. Sun, stand still over there. Moon, stand out still over there until I finish my business. Amen?
Amen.
He said it and he was about his business. That's it. You know, you don't need have to do nothing about anything else. Speak the word with a winner's attitude. God will confirm it every single time. Praise God. Now, I want to excite. I want to generate some excitement in people and see how God will be doing things for you. In fact, you know, even in sports, people will tell you it's more fun when they win. Hello? You know, the losing songs team, yeah, it was never fun for them in their losing season. But the season when they are winning, it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun for the angels when you have the winning attitude.
Amen.
It is boring to death to these angels. I'm telling you the truth because God showed it to me. When you are just there losing, defeated all the time. They don't know what to do. They're waiting for the voice of faith. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. Now, if you can have that winner attitude, you can win every time. No matter what confronts you, you will win. Hallelujah. And it's not only for yourself. You can speak on behalf of others as well.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. It's the same thing. He walks the same way all the time.
Amen.
But I had a privilege this week, this past week, you know, saying something to my sister that's overseas. My brother was sick and so forth. They couldn't find a place for him in the hospital. They said, this was on Tuesday last week. And she called and said, well, you know, they can't even find a bed for him and so forth. He's been sick a long time. And I said, well, she said, because there are more patients than there are beds in the University College Hospital there in Ibadan. They couldn't find. And I said, tomorrow, they will find him a bed. She said, well, you know, there's a lot of waiting lists and so forth. I said, well, tomorrow they find him in bed anyhow. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, I came, that was Tuesday. By the time I was speaking to her, it was Tuesday, late afternoon here, and it was already late night over there. So the business day had already ended. You know, and I said, tomorrow they'll find him in bed. So I came to the prayer meeting, Bible study on Wednesday. I hadn't heard from her. And of course, I said to the people, I said, I know they'll find him in bed, but I pray the Lord will actually deliver him from his sickness so that he doesn't have to be sick the rest of his life. Well, I get home. That day, she didn't call. So finally, I got a hold of her the next day, which was Thursday. And I said, well, you didn't call. He said, well, they found him in bed yesterday.
Hallelujah! Thank you.
I said, well, you know, well, I knew they would because I spoke it by faith. Praise God. You know, now when you say the word by faith because of the attitude that you have, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If you think positive in your heart and you speak and declare it, God will watch over it to fulfill it. Now don't worry about how it's going to be done. That's not your department. That's God's department.
Amen.
Your department is for you to make sure that you get an attitude adjustment up here.
Hallelujah. Amen.
If you say, I can't do it, then you cannot do it. But you get that attitude adjustment in your head, and you say every time that I know that I can do all things through Christ. That strengthens me. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. Can you do all things through Christ that strengthens you? The enemy has stolen some things from some of you. And just like David, he went after what the devil stole from him. There are some of you in here today that need to go over some of your lost, go after the devil and recover some of your lost dreams. Amen. Amen, somebody. You need to recover some of your lost dreams because the enemy has stolen these things from you. And instead of you standing there and say, well, I can't do this, I can't get ahead, and so forth. Well, the Bible says, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, every day you look in the news and so forth, you see all of the things that are going on, all the things that people are saying in the news. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, if you listen to the economic woes that they report on the news and you believe it, if you believe the fact that 2.5 million people are out of job or this point people are out of job and so forth, if you believe all that they are telling you, well, I want to tell you that the witness of God is greater.
Yeah.
If you can believe what you read in the news, well, you better believe what is in this Bible.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because he says, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. He said, even in famine, the Lord will take care of him. Amen? You make your soul fat even in famine. You know, your righteousness will spring forth as the noonday. Praise God. And you will get a victory every time. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And he shall, I will grant unto him to sit with me on my throne. Even as I overcame, Jesus said. And I am set with my Father in his throne.
Amen.
But you must overcome. You cannot allow the problems that you are facing to get the better of you.
Amen.
You must overcome. How do you do it? By having a winning attitude.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Paul and Silas in prison, you know, they had a winner's attitude. They were just singing in Acts chapter 16. They were just singing the praise of the Lord. They were saying, and I see, because I'm happy, and I see, because I'm free, for his eyes are upon the sparrow, and he watches over me. They didn't care whether they were in jail or whatever. They knew that the Holy Ghost is a jailbreaker. Hallelujah, somebody. He'll bust you out of prison. Praise God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set free those who are in prison, he said. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to close in prayer now. I want those of you, you know, that have been under bondage of a negative and losing, defeatist attitude. I want you to get an attitude adjustment today. Praise God. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. I want you to say, from now on, I am a winner. And Jesus made me a winner. He said, Jesus is a winner. And he made me a winner also.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. And I want you to go after that which the enemy has taken from you and go in the name of the Lord and recover all.
Amen.
You must have that winner attitude. Every time that those boxers, they get in the ring, usually the one that wins is the one that has that winner attitude. The one that's already losing and fearful and cowering and so forth. They got to get knocked down. You know. But when they can stand toe to toe. Hallelujah, somebody. Let the enemy take his best shot. It won't do you no evil at all because you got the shield of faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Do you have the shield of faith? Can you quench all the fiery darts of the enemy?
Amen.
He can throw anything against you. You got the shield of faith. It's like a force field. Unbelief is the only thing that will punch a hole in that field. It's a force field that's around you. But if you got that energy of faith, if you got that winning attitude, it keeps the force field in place. Now, quickly, I want you this morning, if you say, I need an attitude adjustment. I have not been living to my fullest potential. You know, I have been subservient to the devil and, you know, all these ideas and so forth. I have not been the head like God commanded that I should be the head. I have not been fruitful and I have not been multiplying. I have not been increasing. I have not been subduing. the things around me, like God said, quickly. I want to do this morning. I want you to come and let's believe God together. And let's see how God will change that for you. Because I am going to make a declaration over you. So if that's you, I want you to step forward right now. Don't look at the next person. Don't worry about it. You know, just step forward and let me make a declaration that will turn your life from the losing, defeatist attitude into the positive, winning attitude every time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, Lord, look upon your people. Your word has gone forth to your people this morning. And here's one thing, people. I want you to know that the Lord said, the word that I have spoken shall not return unto me void. But it must prosper in that which I send it to do, and it must accomplish that which I please. And the Lord also says, I am the Lord that confirmeth the word of my messenger. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Well, I am going to declare something of which I received the commandment of the Lord. The Lord said, when men are cast down, thou, who was talking to me, shall say that there is lifting up. Amen, somebody. This commandment I have received of the Lord. Now, therefore, let there be a lifting up in your life in Jesus' name. For the things that are cast down, let there be a lifting up in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Bible said, and God said, repeatedly in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, that's all he did, he just said. Well, let me also say, let there be victory in your life. Let there be light in the places where darkness has reigned until now. In the places where you have sat in confusion, why you didn't know which way to turn or left or the right. Let there be light. Because the Bible says light is sown for the righteous. Let light be sown for you. In Jesus' name. Now from this time forth, let the life of God, which was also in Jesus, let it be manifested in your mortal body.
Amen.
Let the faith of God rise up in you. In Jesus' name. The faith wherein Jesus said, if you have faith in God, you can say to every mountain that is in your way, get out of my way. Amen?
Amen.
Now I want those of you who are here today, I want you to take a few minutes. And I want you to do this. I want you to say to the mountain that is in front of you. Because the Bible says, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. You shake yourself. Don't wait for somebody to shake you. Don't wait for somebody to loose you. You loose the bands around your own neck. He said, look, I've had it with this. Enough of these bands. Amen. Praise God. No more chains. No more bondage. So I want you to take a few minutes and say. Don't need to pray. Say to the mountain, based on the word that you have heard today. Say to the mountain that I am a winner. Jesus made me a winner. Hallelujah. And say to the mountain, be thou removed from my way. I am going over into the promised land. Say, people, to the Red Sea that is in front of you, be thou parted, that I may go over on dry land. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am a winner. Jesus is a winner. My Lord made me a winner. Oh, glory to his name. I am a winner. Jesus is the winner. My Lord made me a winner. Oh, glory to his name. Are you a winner in here this morning? If you are a student, if you are in business, if you are looking for work, never mind what the voice of reason tells you. Never mind what the voice of unbelief tells you. That is the losing, the negative, the defeatist attitude. Your attitude should be, God said,
amen. Hallelujah.
Be fruitful.
Hallelujah.
And increase. Therefore, I will increase.
Hallelujah.
And I will do better this month than I did last month.
Hallelujah.
God, that's what he said.
Hallelujah.
Now, you may only have a part-time job, part-time days. They only call you once in a while and so forth, and they don't give you enough hours. Well, that was then.
Amen.
If you need it, from now on, I want you to command the wings of the morning.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, you say, today, I will do better.
Hallelujah.
I will increase.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because this commandment I have received of my Father.
Hallelujah.
That I should be fruitful and I should increase.
Amen.
And I should subdue the earth. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And you put it into practice and you begin to see God do great things for you.
Amen.
And even the winner's attitude will give you a longer life.
Amen.
Because you will not be, you know, going around, you know, with long stress upon your faces.
Hallelujah.
You will have joy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, we love you and I know you love your people, Lord. And I pray for every one of them. Even as they have prayed. Now, I pray and I hope that each one of you have declared with your own mouth and you have said to your mountain to move out of your way. Because that's the winner's attitude. And I pray, Lord, for their angels, the ministering spirits that God has given charge over you. I pray that they will begin to go into action on your behalf. Even as you speak the word, the Bible says, God gives the word through your mouth.
Hallelujah.
And great is the company of angels that will publish it.
Hallelujah.
If you speak the word, God will publish it by the company of angels. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give a Lord a hand clap in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I command the devil, it is enough. We will no more have that negative and that losing attitude. We will have the winning attitude because we are on the winning side. Amen, somebody. Somebody said this fight is already rigged in our favor. You know, we are on the winning side. God has fixed it so that we come out on the winning side. Praise God. All the time. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. He has rigged it so that we will always triumph.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you, Lord. Throw up your hands and just love the Lord a little here this morning and tell him how great he is. Thank you, Jesus. The power that is in this revelation should keep you going from victory to victory every day. You should not have a losing moment anymore in your life. No matter what the enemy says, you just have that positive, that winner's attitude, and you will come out on top. Every single time. Praise the name of Jesus. 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 Praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into his presence. Thank him for what he's yet to do. Know that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah! Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.